Greetings. It is such a joy to be here. It feels like I'm among people that have known me for about 50 years, some of you. It's just delightful to be able to share with you this morning, this third Sunday in Advent. Indeed, joy is our candle today, as was read earlier. And I hope that through these words, you can ponder the inexplicable joy. And I think it is truly inexplicable as we wander through some stories today. I know God because of Lois. Kamali Chantavong told me this several weeks ago in Vientiane, Laos. I was there to celebrate the 50th anniversary of MCC Laos, work that began after the Vietnam War and heavily focused on the millions of tons of unexploded ordnances dropped by the United States. That secret war that not even Congress knew about bestowed on Laos more bombs than the U.S. used in World War II, an equivalent to a plane load dropped every 8 minutes for 9 years. Can you even wrap your head around that? And 30% of those, mostly cluster bombs, or bombies, about the size of a baseball, some very colorful, did not explode, did not detonate because they were dropped too low. These are still killing and maiming people 50 years later. When we were there Thanksgiving week, I heard in one area of 4 children who were severely injured because they were digging for clams and dug up one of these. Back to Madame Kamali. She was 11 years old when her village was destroyed by bombing, killing many, and she walked for a month to the capital, Vientiane. She brought with her silk weaving skills that her family had for generations and also the loom. As she grew older, she met many people in the same situation as her, desperately poor. And she founded in 1976 a small cooperative of 10 women to begin making silk. Now there are more than 3,000 in that cooperative. It teaches these traditional ways of raising silkworms. We watched all this. There's a certain way they have to be fed 3 times a day of only mulberry leaves. It's really fascinating. There's a moat around the building so that the ants and other insects don't get in. So and she successfully markets these all around the world. When Kamali said, "I know God because of Lois," she was referring to Lois Froinger, who with her husband David were MCC reps in the years following the Vietnam War in the 1980s. Lois and Kamali became friends, and through this connection, Mulberry Silk was connected with 10,000 villages. So this encounter told to me by Kamali 50 years later encapsulates Isaiah 55 for me. MCC's mission as a service agency of Anabaptist churches is to share God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ, and we do that through relief, development, and peace efforts. The church has looked to mission boards to do church planting, but Isaiah tells us that God's ways are higher than ours and that God's word goes out of his mouth and does not return empty, but will accomplish what he had purposed. I had an email exchange with Lois in the last week, and she said, "I don't remember talking very much to Kamali about God." She said, "You could barely be a Buddhist when the communists took over in that place, much less Christian. You would have gotten kicked out." I don't remember. But Kamali knows that Lois lived that. And Kamali told me that she was so drawn to Lois and her way of life and her being that when she heard that Christians, when they die, go to heaven, she said, I want to see Lois again. And that was her link. Isaiah 55 has long been a favorite of mine. I memorized it. I don't remember if it was high school or in college. And you start out with that, ho. Some of us older folks remember that it says in one of the versions, ho, come to the waters, all you are thirsty. Never could figure out why it said ho. But. And then it goes into this mystery. It's invitation and promise. It's rich in emotion and also some imagery. So this Sunday, this third Sunday, as we think about this, remember there are people who are thirsty. There are people who are hungry. We long for what is not yet. We do not understand why God waits, how God works. How do we get to joy in these realities? And yet, once in a while, we get a glimpse of how God accomplishes God's purpose. So I'd like to invite you to walk with me today through several places around the world where through MCC, Anabaptists have chosen to work together in spite of theological, ethnic, language, and all kinds of other differences to share God's love and compassion. But before we move on, I want to talk just a little bit about some background about Isaiah, this context, so because it fits where we are today. Jillian Condouty notes that the prophet Isaiah describes both judgment for Israel and the hope and joy to be found despite their continual rebellion. This is a prophetic message for that nation and for all people from the beginning of time until now, to the end of time. In the end of the book, where chapter 55 is, some people posit that it may have been revealed about 150 years after the reading of the first 40 chapters. By then, they were in the Israelites were in exile in Babylon, and because of a few verses that were written earlier, it may be that Isaiah wrote this ahead of time, then it was sealed and his disciples read it. We don't know that, but it seems to make some sense. Now, we, in 2025, we wonder how the Israelites could have gotten it wrong so often, time after time after time. But let's step inside their shoes. They lived in the middle of not knowing. We look back and can see. They waited how many years for the deliverance from the oppressors in Egypt? How many? 400. How many years did they wait to enter the promised land? 40. They waited 500 years through the rise and fall of kings longing for that promised king, and they were in exile when they heard this reading. They waited 70 years during exile, and then they waited centuries for the Messiah that Isaiah promised. They didn't see from the vantage point we do. They couldn't see how God had been saving them even from themselves. We too often forget what God has done for us. And we seek other places to seek joy, to seek hope, to seek love, to seek security. We choose things that really can't save us, just as the Egyptians could not save them. We're impatient, we get delusioned, and we become cynical. But that doesn't stop God from pursuing us, calling us, working in our lives, and we then are part of God working God's purpose out for the rest of the world. I could share hundreds of stories of people that I've met around the world. It's a huge privilege of the role I play, of ways that this, you can see this, but let me just share just a few people who I've met and who've encouraged my own faith. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. This is a delightful way to remember this. Thank you, Kathy. This was very vivid way to think about what can happen. I'd like you to meet Don Patrocinio Garbisu. In October, when I visited the Bolivia program, it was in part to celebrate Don Patro's 30th anniversary of being an MCC staff person. He's the rural program coordinator, and he is an incredible farmer and a very wise person. The particular project that the other picture is one of the water projects that he has worked with. It is clean water for the Guarani indigenous group in eastern Bolivia, and an adjacent low German, very poor community, which is a whole story in itself. So they've been drilling wells there and also working with catchment systems off the roof, which is what you see here. Don Patro is a man of few words, but we did get him to share some stories of essentially training dozens and dozens of service workers through the years. Now, people often think about the people who go into service from places like Zion or our church or around other churches you grew up in. But what about all the people who have worked for MCC in those locations and have to train us? Here's what you eat, here's what you, you know, don't do, here's what you do. It's pretty amazing. One quick story. There was a couple that was out in a rural area. They used radios to get back to what they wanted, and they could put something on the bus if they needed something on the bus, send it out to this rural community, you know, 5-10 hours away. So they got a call, and they wanted some gansos. Anybody know what gansos are? Geese. Okay, they're out in the rural area. I guess they want a pair of geese. Maybe they want to start a goose project. Who knows? So Don Patro got a pair of geese, stuck it on the bus, sent it out. Well, those folks' Spanish wasn't quite up to par. They radioed back in and said, gansos. We thought we were asking for ganchos. Clothespins. He's full of those stories. Some of them are not so funny. But he's a quiet and wonderful man. I would ask you to pray for Don Patro. He's very, very ill with fibrosis of the lung. And I just would ask you to pray for him. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Don Patro also works with many, many agriculture projects. This is one in the highlands where climate shifts have meant that things don't grow that they used to grow. And so one way of doing adaptation or mitigation of that is to try to raise different crops. So this was the first bean crop of the Calderon and Cinsano family. And so here they were harvesting that first harvest and sorting the beans along with some MCC staff. Don Patro is bent over in the blue shirt in the front. It was a lovely, lovely setting and a good reminder that although isolated settings can be very challenging, there are also many rewards. These brown beans, which was a new thing to them to grow beans, it was a good harvest, and they were planning then to load them up in bags, put them on a donkey, and walk 5 hours to the nearest city where they would sell them. Another agricultural project that I visited is in El Alto. It's one of the highest cities in the world. It's higher than La Paz, at well over 13,000 feet. It's above the tree line and arid, even though snowfall is possible any time of the year. The MCC partner there works with families to make little greenhouses attached to the side of their wall. They put brick on the outside that they make from the ground, and then they mud it over on the inside, cover it with this plastic. And if you see the black bottles, they are 2-liter bottles filled with dirt, painted black to absorb the sun. Because it's so high, the sun is quite hot. And so it absorbs the heat and keeps it from freezing at night. The yellow sheets are pieces of plastic that are covered with old motor oil, and that collects small bugs and keeps the pests away. They do not use any pesticides. It was just delightful. There's no trees anywhere. There's hardly anything growing. And then you walk into this little humid place and it's just overwhelmingly enjoyable. You might see right in the middle, I saw one Gala apple on their little tree there. There were tomatoes and all kinds of greens to use. It also changes the lives of women who have something of pride and joy that they can work with. They typically don't sell this. This is for their eating. Another water story comes from DR Congo. Going there was a dream since I was a child. My father's cousin, Archie Graber, was there about 60 years, and I grew up going to Archie prayer meetings. I remember those cold, hard seats as we sat in that fellowship hall and prayed for Archie. But it stuck. The Mennonite Brethren Church is a strong partner of MCC there. And through their social outreach, they have worked with thousands and thousands of people displaced by violence in Eastern and Central Congo. Water access was a very significant issue in this area. And so one of the projects worked at there was to drill what they call boreholes, or we would call them wells, and then create some taps where people can get some water from them. One of the women was saying that she had previously walked 3 hours to get water. Each of those boreholes or wells benefits about 1,000 people. In the eastern part of Congo, displaced persons who were living there have become newly displaced. When I saw folks there in 2021, there were thousands of people in very small locations. Often, I think, if I remember this right, there were 3 latrines, outdoor latrines, for 3,000 people. If you think about how we like to have our own bathrooms, that would be just a bit different situation. So in May or March of this year, the group, the M23, took over and moved and took over parts of Eastern DRC, displacing MCCers and everybody else. And they instructed all these people in camps to go back to where they came from, no matter whether it was safe or not. So they left and did that, and of course they didn't have many of their necessities. So to respond, the evangelical churches there shifted their projects to trying to get people what they needed to live. So what you see here are bags of what's called NFIs, non-food items. So they had bags of things that they distributed to about 5,000 households. And then they moved into, once they were settled, then they've moved into cash supports. Jacob Yoder is the young man that you see in the middle. He's the country representative there from Iowa. And he is walking with Mukandagara Dapros, who received one of these bags to enable them to cook. Jacob provides leadership to a program of 10 staff, 10 partners, and 20 projects. I enjoyed talking with him. He listens a lot. And I asked him one time how he manages to hear these stories of butchery and unimaginable ways of dying that most of these women have seen with their husbands, sons, and fathers. I said, how do you deal with hearing those stories over and over and over again? And he mentioned joy. He mentioned the joy that he sees in people's faces and the dancing that happens when food comes or something like this package of items to be able to start over again. So Mukandara celebrated, went home with her family in their temporary location, and you can see a few of the practical items that they might have lost. They include saucepans, metal cups, metal bowls, spoons, and a kitchen knife, a laundry bucket, water bucket, some soap, blankets, mattress, a solar lamp, and a women's hygiene kit. I'm currently displaced from my kitchen for about 3 months because we're redoing it. And I can go dig in the spring house and find something. This morning we had 5 grandkids overnight last night, and we didn't know how to make the pancakes because we don't have a stove. So I ran out and dug around and found the electric skillet. It worked. And then I thought about this situation. It's very different. Seek the Lord while he may be found, it says in Isaiah 55. And I saw that happen in Syria. Found many, many Christians who do all they can to relieve the suffering of those around them. 11 years of war and a devastating earthquake has changed their lives. I remember entering the Annunciation Church Center in Aleppo and seeing several dozen tired-looking middle and older age folks sitting around and waiting for their monthly food voucher. Then we walked to another part and saw children, rooms and rooms full of children who were studying Arabic and English on a Saturday morning, trying to make up for years lost in school. Some of those children's faces showed bleakness, showed anemia, and just blank looks. And like Jacob, I took strength from the service of others on behalf of these suffering children and turned this over to God, seeking God's voice. But I was encouraged by Sister Lena and Matthew. So Sister Lena runs this center open to attend the poorest Christian neighborhood in Aleppo. One of the ironies that Sister Lena shared with us is that in a way that the earthquake that they had about 4 or 3 years ago helped them because they were back in the news again and they got more help. But I was really astounded at Matthew. He's the guy with the hat on the side. He came from a rural area to go to school and stayed in the housing provided by the church. He got involved in the church's ministries first as a job, and then he got hooked. He sought a deeper relationship with God. He sought the Lord, and he learned. He said, "I stopped calling this a job. It's a service." He's very dedicated and sincere. And then it was a tad uncomfortable in that circle. And he kind of leaned over and he whispered to me, "I have a secret, and I'm going to tell just you." And that's kind of odd in this kind of setting. But he whispered to me that he had just been consecrated and was going to go to seminary. And the reason he whispered it, because Sister Lena didn't know yet that he was leaving. So now he's well on his way to becoming a priest. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." Imagine what it would be like to be the father of a 12-day-old baby and your wife dies. Your fellow villagers cannot help you, but someone tells you there's a Christian mission hospital and school far away where you can get help. You put your son in a basket, put him on your head, and carry him 100 kilometers, about 62 miles, to seek help for this beloved new life. Sushant Nand, the brother in this picture, is an MCC India staff member, and he's shown here with his family, and he is that baby's grandson. When his grandfather arrived at the mission with the baby still alive, the missionary said, "We can probably save the baby, but we can't adopt him because we're foreigners." They gathered the local Christian community there to ask if somebody would take this baby. And in that circle, a young girl stepped forward and said, "I want a brother." Her parents were horrified. They had no money. They could barely feed her. And the missionary said, "Well, we'll help feed him if you take him as your own." So the couple said yes, but only if the father would relinquish him and not try to get him back. The father agreed, although he did stay in touch. That child grew in wisdom and stature and became a leader in the community, and now his son, Sushant, and his wife serve their church in their community as pastors. The MCC team has devotions every day and tea time following, very important tea time. On our first day there, Sushant led the devotional, asking us to reflect on who we need God to be for us. I'd never thought about that before, but God has so many names, and even in Isaiah 55, we can see so many ways that God can be for us. Sushant is the connecting people's person. That means for MCC India, that means he helps choose and send IVEPers and Yamaners. Yamaners are young people that go south to south through Mennonite World Conference, but MCC runs that program. And the man next to him is Eric. He's a Yamaner from Rwanda. And he also works at placement then, people that are placed in India, he visits them. So we visit a number of those places with him. He is a wise leader and pastor. God's ways were higher than others. His thoughts were higher than human thought. And God placed in his Hindu father, grandfather, the faith that he could be saved. Finally, in our own country, I'd like to introduce you to these dear pastors, LMC, MCUSA, and Mennonite Brethren pastors in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. I visited these partners along the U.S.-Mexico border in February and was invited to join them for a meal to pray and fellowship at Iglesia Menonita Nuevo Amanecer in Brownsville, actually somebody's living room. They're struggling, really, really struggling to serve their congregations in a time of uncertainty and fear. Only one of these pastors is a full citizen. They all live in the awareness of their vulnerability at any point, at any time. And yet there was much, much joy there. Pastors Rocio and Lina in Mexico City live the joy promised in Isaiah 55 through their work with migrants. Can we too live this invitation and bold proclamation of what God has done and will do? Can you live the invitation to imagine green things growing in this desert? Imagine people, hungry people being fed and thirsty people having their thirst taken care of. As you reflect on your life as individuals and as this church, please remember how God's word produces fruit and births joy. There's this invitation in Isaiah 55 to receive blessing, to be richly fed and wonderfully led. I know this congregation serves many in many, many ways. So today may joy rise in you, not as a fleeting feeling, but one born of the holy confidence that God is with you, God is for you, God is worthy of praise in every circumstance. May it be so. Go forward in joy. Amen. Thank you.